He too? Which one first? In the garden.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we carry him, none other has ever known. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the words which they're singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling. But he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Near the Cross, number 403.
Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring it seems
Greetings, everyone. Sabbath Blessings Church. I pray you have a wonderful Sabbath, and it's a beautiful day here today in South Florida. And I pray for the blessing of the Sabbath upon each and every one of you. Amen. Clyde and Kim, praise the Lord. I understand we have a new remnant with us, a little girl. And so praise the Lord for that, and praise the Lord that she is in God's hand. So, congratulations. All right, church, please join me with prayer. Join us all so we can get on bended knee here and bow our heads and bow our hearts. Precious Heavenly Father, Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your wonderful Sabbath and all the blessings that you continue to provide for us, not only on this day, but each and every day of our life. Father, as we go into your word today, please open our minds, open our hearts, that we may have clear understanding to thy truth. Father, send thy spirit that all preconceived notions of things in which we once understood may be removed, and that only the truth is that shall be provided today be given to the blessings of thy Spirit, Father. Father, we just thank you for all things. We will continue to glorify you in all that we do and how we share. So, Father, bridle my tongue as I speak, that it may be you that speaks, Father, and that all understanding is given to your church. And I ask for this blessings in Jesus' most precious and most wonderful name. Amen. 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 Okay. Looks like the link's in the room. Yep. All right. Today's topic is, My Father is Greater Than I. This term is going to be based on John chapter 14, 28. You know, we're also going to get into the same chapter 14 in John, verses 12 to 14, and we're also going to move over to John chapter 17, verse 5. But the basis of the topic is really chapter 14, verse 28. You know, and why I present the sermon today is because of how I've seen this passage misunderstood by so many denominations and people that I've come across. And it somehow creates this thinking of a superior God versus an inferior God. So I pray as we humbly accept his word that the blessing of the Holy Spirit will bring clarity to your hearts and to your mind on this topic. Okay? Starting with number one, this is the verse where it says, in John chapter 14, verse 28. Yeah, and also, I think after, when you have an opportunity, read the entire chapter of John, and read also the entire chapter of John, chapter 17. And it'll help you have understanding of what we're going to share today. 14:28 says, you have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for the Father is greater than I. So this is where the topic starts here. So what does greater mean? Okay, we're at number two. What does greater mean? In this verse, does greater here mean greater in nature and essence, or does it mean in position or rank? With that understanding that Jesus was just a man and a servant, that he came for us. Let's remember, before we go into this word, let's remember this verse from Philippians chapter 2, and this is going to be from verses 5 through 8, before we go into this word greater and its meaning. And Philippians chapter 2, 5, 8 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it a robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. This is how he emptied himself. And took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he, Jesus, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So looking at this passage here, we see being in the form of God, where it says that, just referring to nature, he humbled himself in the attributes of God to be a servant. Okay? A servant to the Father, but a servant to you and I, for all of us. Now let's take a look at this word greater. Right? And this is the word greater that we find in John 14, 28, where Jesus says, for the Father is greater than I. This word greater, from Strong's, Greek 3187, we also see Greek Strong's 3173. This word is midzon, and we can see this word can be used as larger, an elder, more, in a figurative or figuratively sense, we can use this word. So we can see size and amount, an elder or rank can all be used to see the meaning of this. But what we have to understand, this word does not say superior or better. Superior or better. It does not say this. Now let's look at a few verses here. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, we're at number 5 here. It says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. For he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. In verse 10, for it became him, this is Jesus, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Right, so we see being made lower than angels. And it's also clear that we see that in verse 10, how he created all things. So in Hebrews 10, chapter 2, we see the identity of Jesus. It says, for whom are all things. Now, Paul reminds us of what John wrote in John 1, 3, that Jesus, by his nature, created all things. This, of course, prior to the humbling of the one who emptied himself to be a servant to the Father and man. Here's what John wrote. In John chapter 1, verse 3, where he writes, all things were made by him, and without him was nothing or was anything made that was made. Okay? All things are made by him. So Jesus humbled himself from what? From the position and glory he had with the Father. Looking back at Hebrews 2, 9, it says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, okay, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Humanity. That's his position of humanity. But when we go to Hebrews 1, 4, it says, being made so much better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. That's divinity. That's his nature. So as a man made a little lower than the angels, Hebrews from Hebrews 2:9, Jesus was saying in his earthly position and submission as a man, he was not greater than the Father in rank. Think about this. Can a man be greater than God? Absolutely not. But by his nature, he was better, superior than the angels. This is what Hebrews 1:4 saying. We have to remember, the Word was made flesh, humanity, carnal in nature. This is from John 1:14, and dwelt among us. Okay? This is where in John 1:14 it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the only the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. So, looking at number 7 here. When we look at the President of the United States of America, we see the President in a position of higher rank than all citizens. Okay? In his position, we are not greater than the seat he sits in. His position of office is surely greater. But consider this. But as our nature of a human being, we are equal. The President is not better in nature than we are citizens. So the context of greater in John 14:28 is about position. Now, here's another way we can look at this. Looking at husbands and wives, right? Husband and wives, husbands may have a higher position than his wife, right? But in nature, he is not better than his wife. As Ephesians 5:22 declares, when we read 5:22 and verse 23. Number 8 here says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. So husbands and wives are equal in nature as our Creator intended it to be a divine decree. It's not here a matter of inferiority versus superiority, but only as rank of position. The husband is head of the wife. They have different operations. You know, I pray that we're starting to see and we're beginning to understand that this word greater, okay, greater is to be considered and can be considered a positional word. Looking at 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 6. We can see this illustration of unity, right? And how it all works together. Though it has different branches, it works in such a harmonious way to carry out the appointed work. And this is what it says. This is 1 Corinthians 12, 4, 5, and verse 6. Where it says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but is the same God which worketh all in all. So what do we see? We see the unity of the Godhead working together for our salvation. But let's, moving on to number 9 here, let's take another look here. Let's look at another example of an instance in Scripture where this word greater is used, so we can better understand the context of what was said in John 14:28. So let's take a look at this example taken from John chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. And this is the verse Jesus was referring to in John 14:28 when he said, ye have heard how I said unto you. So this is what he was referring to in the previous verse. This is John 14, verses 12, 13, and 14. And it says, verily, verily, Jesus speaking here, okay? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. We have to start understanding. We need to understand here. Jesus is referring to what? He's referring to the quantity of works or the extent of it. Greater here denotes size or an amount. As we saw earlier in Strong's Greek 3187 and 3173. Okay, here's that word greater again. So, not the type of work they would do, but by the size or the amount of work the apostles would eventually do through the mighty working of the Holy Spirit, our Comforter. Why does Jesus say that they will do greater works than he? Why does he say this? Look what he says right after. Because he's going to the Father. Remember John, remember in verse 28 in chapter 14 here, it says, Jesus said, he said, if you love me, you would rejoice because I said I go unto the Father. We have to do this line upon line, precept upon precept. Jesus is saying to be happy for him, to be excited. If he stays, he'll continue to be mocked, persecuted, spit upon, rejected, and the Comforter would never come. All three persons of the Godhead are needed for our salvation. Jesus will not ascend to be our mediator, work in our behalf, hearing our prayers. This is why we truly have to rejoice today, as he is now one with the Father again, interceding for us, so that they can come to us by his Spirit. We are not left comfortless, church. And this is what he was trying to tell them in his discourse. As a man, Jesus did not have the attributes to be in all places with that human body. But by the Spirit, they shall come to us. As we'll see later when we go through John chapter 14 and 23. Now, thinking about this, to think that the disciples would do better works than Jesus would be just so ridiculous to accept that type of idea. Okay? So when we understand this, greater doesn't mean better here. Again, greater does not mean better. Notice Jesus says, the works that I do, okay? Jesus says, the works that I do, he shall do also in John 14, 12. The same works, and not better. Okay, this is the continued plan of salvation through his church, and by the Holy Spirit. It is a greater work the disciples shall eventually do by the size or by the amount. Okay? Jesus was to ascend to the Father, but the work was to continue by the pouring of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Emphasis has to be given in remembering it is by the Holy Spirit the disciples would accept the fulfillment of the prophecies as they would see their Savior crucified, resurrected, and then be lifted. I mean, they witnessed this. And then be lifted up to heaven as a high priest and mediator. Remember that the scripture says, this same Jesus you see standing here, then would come back in like manner. And they witnessed this all. Remember, they saw the dead raised. They saw the miracle of Cana, the healing, the walking on water, the feeding of the great multitudes, the thousands. So they witnessed this all. They faithfully searched the scriptures. Okay, this is the Old Testament, right? And saw the fulfillment of the inspired writings complete in him, complete in Jesus. Remembering also the New Testament was not penned yet, but it was soon to be, as the Holy Spirit was to come to them and bring all things into their remembrance, as Jesus himself said in John 14:26. We all know this verse, church. We're at number 10 here, where it says, John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Notice Jesus says he, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Jesus didn't say the Father, he says the Comforter, he. Church, We need to have the very same faith today as they had then, and a greater work to place by that faith that they had in offering humble prayers to their risen Savior. That promise of the Comforter, which shall bring all things to the remembrance, is for our last day movement of people, just as it was for the then disciples. And I pray that we are striving to be disciples today, servants for the world, servants for the Lord. Are we not His 11th hour church? Let us strive to be that remnant. We too can be light bearers to this world, just as it was written to them in Acts 5:28, when it is declared, and number 11 here, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, is what's stated. What about us today? Are we filling the world with His doctrine? Are we going boldly? This teaching that the disciples will perform is the works. This is the works that is being mentioned here in John 14:12. By the disciples witnessing all these miracles with the power of the Holy Spirit upon them, what took place? A multiplicity of people turned to Jesus, and they believed. This will repeat itself in our times. It takes faith. It takes a leap of faith. It takes that walk. Also notice that Jesus is telling them, whatsoever they ask in His name, you know, name, that word shem from the Hebrew means character, right? Whatever they ask in His name, He will do it. Not that the Father will do it, but He, Jesus, will do it. Church, we have to go humbly in prayer. We need to be so sincere in them so our prayers are heard and answered. When you pray asking in His character, His name, we need to be accepting our Savior's character. In Jesus' name, we are to stand before the Most High. Do as Christ, accept His character, keep His commandments. You know, like I always say, you know, when we gather, when we do some of these studies together, I always say, do all things by the love of Christ. Jesus says, by the glory He has with the Father, once you return to the Father from His earthly position, Jesus is saying, He will grant it. He. How can Jesus do that if He is not God? Jesus has all the omni attributes as God. Omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotent. Number 12 is where we're at. Jesus is now present with the Father in the heavenly sanctuary, where He ministers in behalf of us, right? I think we all have that understanding. He's making these requests before the Father for us. He is interceding for us. This is how He says, anything you ask in My name, I will do. Because He intercedes as a mediator. The contract is between Him and the Father now. He purchases all, church. If we don't humble ourselves, His Spirit can't use us. We don't use the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit will use us. The Spirit will work in us if we meet the humbling conditions. What do we have to do? How can Thy Spirit use us? Submit yourselves. Surrender all so that His Spirit will use you. We're many members, in that body, church. Just as the early rain fell upon the disciples, we today can obtain those showers of blessings. Pray for the latter rain. Church, pray humbly. Submit yourselves. And number 13 here in John chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, If any man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now we see Jesus saying, He and the Father will come unto all who keep his words and love him. Jesus says, And we will come unto him. How? By the Spirit, our Comforter. Praise the Lord for Jesus being our high priest and mediator so the work of the church can be accomplished. This is all part of salvation. This is how the Godhead is working. It's working for us. It's for us. Love is what's allowing this plan to take place. Love is the key to everything. Now, in moving over to John chapter 17, verse 5, we're going to see this being stated by Jesus himself, okay? Jesus claims this here. It's written, And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. The glory which I had with thee before the world was. So Jesus makes a bold claim that he had shared the same divine glory with the Father before setting it aside by humbling himself to become a servant to redeem the fallen human race for all those who would accept him. Before the world was, Jesus says, He and the Father shared the same glory. In the 17th chapter of John, Jesus is saying, Jesus is praying in regards to the oneness, the very oneness he had with the Father in his pre-existence. Our glorified Lord and Savior, our brother, is our advocate in the heavenly courts. So yes, now we can see why he says, you should rejoice and be happy. Look at this verse from Isaiah 42, verse 8. Okay? The verse is from the Old Testament, where it says, I am the Lord, capital O, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. This or that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praises to graven images. So the Lord here says, my glory will I not give to another. Okay? Belongs to him. Belongs to God. The Lord here in the Old Testament says he won't give his glory to another, yet Jesus says he had it with his Father. We see that oneness. Praise the Lord as we can see here how Jesus and his Father are truly one in unity. This oneness Jesus was praying, this is the oneness he was praying about. This is before Jesus voluntarily laid it aside to be subservient to the Father, the oneness. Okay? Number 15 from Hebrews 1:8, verses 8, 9, and 10. It is also written, and it says, But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, had anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. The Father is telling the Son that it was by his hands that creation took place. His hands. This is thus saith the Lord, church. And now, by the way, for those that use those bogus Bibles that change the wording of this verse, such as an example of the bogus Bible, is the New World Translation Bible. This verse, we just read from Hebrews 1, 8, 9, and 10, is a messianic prophecy about Jesus from the Psalms. In Psalms, the book of Psalms, chapter 45, verses 6 and verses 7, it states, it is written, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." In both these passages here, the Father is calling the Son of God. He's calling his Son God in both passages. And moving over to Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. We're at number 16, okay? For those that are following along. It says, this is referring to Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created. How many things? Some things? It says all things that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. How many things were made by Jesus? I mean, from verses 15 to 18, this is all things. There's not one thing that was ever in existence that was not created by the hands of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This passage here is being said of Jesus Christ, that he is our creator and that he made all things. Just as John was saying here in 1 John 1:3, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. So what am I trying to do here? I'm trying to establish through his word that Jesus is God. Not an inferior God, but God which exists, you know, in heaven, as he said, equal with his Father. Take a look at this verse from the very beginning of his word. And that's going to move us down to what? Genesis 1, the very beginning. Genesis 1, verse 26 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness." We all have read this verse hundreds of times. Common sense, when we read this, will explain it all to us. Did God state an inferior part or an image of God? Let us make man in our image? Is there a lesser image of the expression our when it says our image? Think about that. Think about that, church. It would make no sense. Is there a lesser nature of God? Of course not. You know, when he says, let's make man in our image, he's not speaking to a lesser part of his image. the word used in the beginning here in verse 26 was Elohim. Elohim is the plural form of God, meaning more than two. E-L-L is the singular form of God. Elohim is the first plural form of God, but can only mean two. Elohim is the understanding of three or greater. In Hebrews 1, verse 3, chapter 1, we're at number 19 here. It says, who being in the brightness of his glory, okay, again, this is referring to Jesus, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat on the right hand of the majesty on high. See that word, the express image in Hebrews 1:3? Let's take a look at this word. What is the express image? And again, this is taken from Strong's Greek 5481 and 5482. The word is character. And how we say to the character, okay? What does it say of this word? It can mean an exact copy. An exact copy. So who being in the brightness of his glory, the exact copy of his person, the express image. This is being said of Jesus. Take a look at this verse in Isaiah 44:24. We're at 21. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee in the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things. Remember that? I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spread abroad the earth by myself. So we're beginning to understand this oneness here. Hebrews 1, verse 10. And thou, Lord, this is the Father speaking to the Son here. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. Wow. Search the scriptures. Number 23, Ephesians 3:9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. And looking at Titus 2:13, we're at 24. Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. It says, looking for that glorious appearing. Who shall appear and come? It says, looking for that glorious appearing, our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Who shall appear and come? At 25, Revelation says, chapter 22, verse 20. He which testified these things saith, surely I come quickly. Jesus is saying, I come quickly. So we see who's appearing. I come quickly? Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Church, in closing here, in this study, in this sermon, the word says Jesus is God. Not an inferior God, but a God that revealed the Father to us in human form in the most humbling act of submission. The very same God who created all things by his hands. Thus saith the word, Thus saith the Father. By Jesus saying the Father is greater than I pray that today we have an understanding of the context of what is being said. I implore you to read chapter 14, all of John chapter 14, and all of John chapter 17, so that you may have this wonderful connection with the Holy Spirit, that he shall teach you all things. In Colossians 2:9, it says, for in him, we're talking again about Jesus, for in him, Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Isaiah 9:6 tells us that he is our everlasting Father. Thank you, Jesus. Our Prince of Peace. Thank you, Jesus. The Godhead has such love for us all that the Father sent his only Son. He sent his Son to die for us. Something that we just can't comprehend. The Son willingly left the sweet counsel with his Father to be a servant and lay down his life for all humanity. What do we need to do? We just need to come to him, church. No greater love is this. The Bible says, I'm not saying this. The Bible says there's no greater love than this. John chapter 15, verse 13. It's our last verse for this Sabbath here. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. We have a friend in Jesus. Jesus gave the greatest love by purchasing us all. Jesus is the perfect ransom, church. And we have been bought with a price. We're not our own. Let us strive to start taking care of these bodies. They've been bought. Jesus is now with the Father working in our behalf because of this amazing thing called love. Why did this all take place? Because of love. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. He brings all the blessings to us because of love. There is no lesser image of God in the Godhead. Don't believe these heresies. But there is a unity of love. For 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. Church, I pray for the continued blessings upon us all this Sabbath day. God bless you all. And amen.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And grace my
Blessing us for the changing of this program on Sabbath day again. May you be giving us a beautiful day as well. May you be keeping us safe in the remainder of this day and blessing us all throughout the week with the heads of angels so that we can come together again on Sabbath to worship you and to learn of you. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us in all unrighteousness and blessing us with the light of life so that we can do that which prophecy says your people will do in your last days. In Jesus' name.
Help!